Let's speak to Ali, who's going to speak to us over the internet. That's not a real name. They've asked us to use that instead of their real name. Ali, hi, good to speak to you.
Hi, good evening. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Our pleasure. Tell us a little bit about yourself and where you are.
Well, I'm in Tripoli. I'm a Libyan. I work abroad. I work back in the UK in Cardiff, but I came over at the start of the uprising to take part, really. I live in a central district here in Tripoli. So I'm in the midst of it, really.
And you felt so strongly you've moved back. Why do you feel so strongly that you want to take part?
It didn't take much thought, really. I am a Libyan. As much as I've spent a lot of time abroad, I've always considered myself a Libyan. My family's here in Libya. My home's here in Libya. I think it was a no-brainer, if you like. I felt a distinct urge to come and play my part in the writing of, you know, of our country's history. It didn't cross my mind really not to come.
And you say you want to take part. Does that mean simply putting your view, or does that mean fighting if need be?
Well, I think the answer to that question would differ depending on when you'd ask me. I mean, when I first came, my intention was to take part in what were protests at the time, and I did take part in protests. I was out in the streets. We were protesting peacefully, but due to the, you know, the violent and vicious crackdown on our protests, obviously, as you know, events turned from it being an Egypt-style peaceful protest to what is really an armed uprising, which we haven't really taken part in here in Tripoli. So, we've been putting our efforts elsewhere. A lot of our work, a lot of my work is under the radar. I help when I can in hospitals. I help with morale raising and group gathering. We distribute leaflets in secret. We paint graffiti. We do what we can. We do what we can under the radar, in fear of the violence that they sometimes come out with to silence us until, you know, the role for Tripoli may change.
Have you been harassed in any way doing any of these things?
Have I been harassed? I mean, I've been chased by armed, uniformed security men with semi-automatic weapons. So that's some kind of harassment, I guess.
I'm curious, Ali, when that's happening, do you think maybe it would have been more sensible to stay in Cardiff?
Yeah, well, I don't think that was an option, really. It would have been more safe. I don't know if it would have been more sensible. It's not what I wanted to do. It's not what I felt I needed to do. It wouldn't have helped us in any way. It certainly would have been safer, but I don't think safety helps anyone, really.
And you wouldn't have heard it, Ali, but a little earlier in the programme, we were speaking to a Guardian journalist who said he can easily see a stalemate emerging where the East is in the control of the rebels and the West and the South are in the control of Colonel Gaddafi. If that happens, how long are you prepared to stay in Tripoli waiting for the change that you want?
It's a very good question. It's a very difficult question to answer, really. I try not to get bogged down with the complexities of how long I may be here, what sort of things I may be asked to do. But, I mean, in principle, essentially, I've come here to play my part. I've come here to do what it is that I need to do. And, you know, I won't go, I won't leave until I feel I have no longer have a part to play. I disagree with the fact that this may end up in a stalemate. It's a fluid situation, but every day that passes, every decision that's made by whether it's the international community or our guys here, the regime's options are becoming more and more limited. I can see this taking a long time, but I can't see this ending in a stalemate or any other way but victory for those who are fighting for freedom and dignity.
Thanks for speaking to us, Ali. We appreciate it, and hopefully we can get you back onto World Have Your Say soon.
You're more than welcome. Thank you.